Let us pray. Holy Spirit, please come and speak to us, help us, and Lord, speak to our hearts and shape us and give us faith and vision for the future and for everything you want to say to us. Amen. Thank you. Saul and his son Jonathan and the men with them were staying at Gibeah of Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash. Michmash. Raiding parties went out from the Philistine camp in three detachments. One turned to Ophrah in the vicinity of Saul, another towards Beth Horon, and a third towards the borderland overlooking the valley of Ziboam, facing the desert. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords and spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshares, matlocks, axes and sickles sharpened. The price was 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening plowshares and mattocks. I don't know where you get the L from. And 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening forks and axes and for repointing goads. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand. Incredible. Only Saul and Jonathan had them. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armour, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree at Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of the priest. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a crag. One was called Bozez and the other Senna. One crag stood to the north, the other to the south. Jonathan said to his young armour bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in your mind," said his armour bearer. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come then, we will cross over towards the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," the Philistines said, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes where they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up and see us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." So Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet and his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer. His armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In the first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and the field, and those on the outposts and the raiding parties. The ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. And then the whole armies join in this huge battle. And they start fighting and winning. Verse 24. "Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies.' So none of the troops had tasted food." You know the story, the entire army enter the woods. Jonathan hasn't heard about this curse. He takes his the staff of his spear and he sticks it in some honey he sees on the ground and eats it. And he's full of energy and strength from the honey. Some guys see him and say, "Oh, haven't you heard about the curse that your dad's spoken? We're not to eat any food today." And Jonathan sort of says, "Ridiculous." When they get back, it's been a fantastic victory. And in verse 41, Saul starts going through the camp to see who's eaten. You know, just pathetic, really. And he's picking lots and all that, and the lot falls to Jonathan, and he says, "Give me the right answer." And Jonathan says, and Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot, and the men were all cleared. And Saul said, "Cast the lot between you and me, my son." And Jonathan was taken. And Saul says to Jonathan, verse 43, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him, "I merely tasted a little honey with the end of my staff. Must I now die?" Saul said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan." But the men said to Saul, "Should Jonathan die, he who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? He will not. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he did this today with God's help." So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. When Saul stopped pursuing the Philistines, they withdrew to their own land. And there's a few things I want to draw up from that. One is it's leadership, good leadership teaching, just the difference between Jonathan and Saul. You know, Saul sat here under this tree, not doing anything. You know, and for good reason, you know, the without ability, really. They've got no swords, they've got no weapons. So they sat waiting for God to act, which is, frankly, how the church can be, how we can be, how the church in this nation can be. You know, you're praying for revival, you're hoping for God to move, but you're sort of inactive. This ties in a little bit with what Dimitri said yesterday, even though Dimitri had a hard shout after that fantastic testimony. What he said was actually prophetic about movement and God travelling and being going God, and I tried to pick up on that a bit in the preach. The God is with those who go, you know, like Reinhard says, he goes with the goers, he doesn't sit with the sitters. This is a fantastic biblical example of that. Saul is so religious and dramatic, you know, he's disobedient on one hand, does his own thing. He's a bad leader, actually. He's full of himself. He does things that God hasn't asked him to do. And then when something seems to happen, he jumps up there, tries to grab the glory, make it all about him, and pronounces these big religious things. Like, you know, right, there's a big battle happening. Oh, God's moving. The ground's shaking. At last, God's moving. And then puts these religious bondages on people of, "None of the men may eat until we've battered them." No, which is just ridiculous. Makes it harder for everyone. So they're fighting without eating, even though God's with them and they're winning. Jonathan says, you know, how much better if he'd have let the men eat? Would have killed more Philistines. And then once he binds people to this sort of, when you do this big religious binding, and I'm the leader, and I'll say it's going to be, when you're over the top in that and not just obeying God, what happens is you bind yourself. So he's bound himself then. He said something, he has to stick by it and look good and look like he meant it. And then he's coming to the point where he's going to kill his own son, who's actually brought about the victory through his faith. And in the end of the day, when you end up like that as a leader, in the end of the day, just no one takes you seriously. You know,
that's right.
You're yabbing on, and people just, even the men said, "He's gonna, God be so ever severely with me if you don't die." And the bloke said, "Nah, he's not." See you later, mate. They just ignore the king. I mean, it's quite dramatic, really. He's losing his authority. Why? Because he's focused on silly, tiny things over the top. It's what the devil tries to do with us. gets us focused on finicky things.
Hmm.
Who ate the honey? What? There's been a massive victory. God's moving.
Hmm.
It's exactly what the Pharisees did.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you're focused on tithing your little dill and coming in your garden herbs. And you're neglecting righteousness and mercy and love. You know,
yeah.
It's a challenge, isn't it, for us not to become like that?
Hmm.
The challenge for me is in this, is that actually, it's not that detail doesn't matter, you see. Detail does matter in what we're doing, governing this church, membership issues, individuals. It's not that it doesn't matter. Actually, it does matter. It just doesn't matter that much. It just doesn't matter as much as the Holy Spirit moving, faith, adventure, going for the big picture, battering the enemy, and doing it by grace, having honey on the way, you know. Not being all finicky and religious. And when the enemy's against us, we are tempted, all of us, I am, we are, to focus on the little things. It's not that they don't matter, they do, but they've got to be in the right place. The other extreme is just to be completely cavalier and think you can do what you like, which is Saul's other extreme just before this event. He sacrificed to the Lord and the Lord's with me, I can do what I like. That isn't faith either, that's presumption and stupidity. They were in big trouble with Samuel because of it. But what we have here is a good example of actual faith from Jonathan. Jonathan says, it's not cavalier actually, because he does have some signs to see if it's God.
Yeah.
But he's moving. He is determined to move. And I'm not sitting under a flipping pomegranate tree with these 600 men all day. Our nation is getting absolutely battered by these raiding parties going into our villages and towns, killing people, abusing people. We're sat under a pomegranate tree waiting for God to move. Why? Well, we've only got these resources. We haven't got any money. We haven't got any... It can't be like that.
Mm.
We have to have faith.
Yeah.
Faith to advance, which is what's so awesome about our church, actually, you know. You know, what's so awesome about us is God's grace on us to think this way. That's what's awesome.
Yeah.
And we've said recently, I've said to Ian on the phone, and I think to some of you guys, you know, the church God started here is the church that on week one or two, we were showing a picture of Teesside Park. There's 30 of us, and we're showing a big picture of Teesside Park.
Mm.
With amazing grace, I giggled at it today, driving over the A19, after I dropped Rebecca at work. We actually had the picture of the words of amazing grace right across showcase, and which is great, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I was laughing at. I was looking for our picture of amazing grace words. It was underneath of that, you know, those pictures, which is actually how we're meant to think, you know.
Yeah.
Big, and God's with us because He is, you know. And you know, that's the church people joined. That's the church that our core is excited about.
Yeah,
when we're moving and advancing and taking ground with the little that we have. And you see, as you go forward in faith like that, you get more. And just a couple of key points here that are really good for us as a team. You know, one is this absolute refusal to be inactive. Jonathan is going to move. And it doesn't take all 600 to do it. There's just him and his mate, his young armor bearer. And, you know, and Jonathan actually says it. Nothing is able to hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Thank God.
Yeah.
Doesn't need a big church to bring revival. Doesn't need a big team to go to Tallinn to make it work and pull it off. And he can save by many or by few. What God's looking for is this kind of heart in Jonathan, of faith in God. And his armour bearer, he's not lacking at all behind him in faith.
Hmm.
He says, you know, absolutely. He doesn't say, hang on, mate, you've got a sword and I haven't. He hasn't got a sword, there's only two swords, you and your dad. It's all right for you to say, mate. You know, you've got money, I haven't. Or you've got anointing, I haven't. You've done this before, I haven't. He doesn't say that. This young man, whoever he is, bless him, he'll go down in history. But his name isn't there, but I'm sure the Lord knows it. He has faith in God just the same, and he has faith in Jonathan's leadership. And he says, do everything that you have in mind. Go ahead. What a brave lad. Could have died this day. Go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. Now that does matter. The unity of that team matters. It's interesting when they get to the top and batter these guys. It's the 10 to 1 ratio again. It's the Daniel. It's the 10 times better thing. 20 guys die for 2. They kill 10 each. It's like there's the kingdom multiplication. Where there's faith and unity, even if there's smallness in the team, it doesn't matter. They're together, heart and soul. Let's go. Let's try. Yeah. Let's have a go, you know. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things of God, said William. Little cobbler who started the missionary movement. William Carey. Said William Carey, you know, when no one was going abroad preaching the gospel, he thought he'd have a go. And at great personal cost, you know, he kept saying, let's attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. He's a perfect example of what was preaching yesterday morning. That the Holy Spirit moves when you move. And when you go, he begins to blow. And not before. There's no ground shaking before they move. There's no panic in the enemy camp. The enemy is running riot. They are battering Israel, and Saul sat under a pomegranate tree. But everything changes. Everything hinges on this young team's faith. And so they're not just cavalier, like, we can batter them, come on, let's take it. He says, let's check it out. You know, he's the little fleece. I'm not sat under a pomegranate tree waiting for a vision. Or, you move first, God, then we'll do it. Yeah. No, he's going in faith and activity. We're going to start a fight for the Lord. Let's go and start a fight. Let's do something. And if it isn't God, let him stop me. Which is by far more, you know, far more biblical stance of way of doing it. Far more New Testament stance. Paul says in all his letters, I plan to come to you, but the devil stopped me. And the other letters, I plan to come to you, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And I'm going, you know, basically we're going until the Lord stops us. Can we plant churches in Europe? Absolutely. Where would you like to plant church? You can plant churches wherever you want in one sense. You can try and see if God's in it. Why? Because that is our mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. Jesus said, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them. Teach them everything I've taught you. And I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Yeah. So it's a going mobile M61 vision and mentality that we've got. Because that's the mentality that brings revival and change, and God brings. God loves goers and people who will attempt things and have a go with limited resources. And resources come as you go, you know. I mean, how many guys did they have to kill before the armor bearer got a sword? One. Mm-hmm. One. Mm-hmm. Only kill one. Right, grab his sword. Now, go and take them 10. I'll take these 10. Or let's do it again. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. In half an acre, which isn't very much, one big field, to fought 20 guys and killed them all. And then God sees that activity in faith and he can't resist. The Lord loves faith. The Lord thinks, oh lads, we're on, game on, come on, set the angels. Start shaking the ground, all the Philistines. Fear. God sends panic in them. They're absolutely on the run. And all these other guys then, all the 600, bless them then. Bless them, you know. You don't have to be the first one in to get in on this. The other people get in on it without swords and without spears and without anything sharp in their hand, bless them. They've got sticks and staffs and stuff probably, but they get in on it. They run it. They start getting in this massive battle. Kill a man, pick up a sword. Kill a man with a stick and you've got his sword. It's a massive faith adventure. God loves it. God absolutely loves it. But the sad thing and the hindrance in it is this religious, stupid leading that is the opposite to it. But Jonathan's a man of grace, and he says, nah, you know, I'm not having it. I'm going to have the honey. I'm going to take the strength that God gives me. I'm going to keep fighting until we can't fight anymore. I'm going to get the most that we can out of this. Religion minimizes the victory and stops the flow, whereas faith and grace maximizes the victory. Faith, grace and love maximize the victory, so you can keep going and keep going, which is what we need to do as leadership, not be stuck, but keep going in faith. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed that.
I just think it's important all the guys see that. So